Hey everyone, this is Rachel Mooney.
This is Cindy.
This is Maggie.
And this is Andrea. And you're listening to Real Her Talk, houses, heels, and real estate deals.
Okay, so today we have Dara. We're throwing her straight in the deep end. Hello,
hello.
All right, so who are you? Where did we find you from?
Where did you find me from? My name is Dara. I am the team leader for Keller Williams Atlanta Partners North Gwinnett. You found me. I was a vendor partner with several of the Atlanta Partners offices years ago, and that's how I formed my relationships before I face planted into this role. It's been amazing.
The coolest thing is about when you become a team leader, and this wasn't what we were planning on talking about today, but I'm laughing because in my head, and I've said this so many times, but so team leader really means that we run the whole franchise. You have to coach and consult people on their businesses while also growing the office business. And it's very rare that you get taken from anything else you're doing and then dropped into a multi-million dollar business and gone, okay, go, do good things. And there's support and stuff, but it's not, there's nobody standing next to you going, okay, and so next you're going to do this or whatever. And it's so funny because when you're growing a real estate business, you are starting from like, okay, I got to do this. And like, you're starting kind of trying to build up where you got thrown into the deep end and it's, you had the opportunity to sink or swim. And fortunately you're swimming.
Yes. Fortunately I'm swimming. Yep. I have, background in business, and so that helped a lot. So my husband and I started a business, franchised a business, sold a business, so that was helped the journey be a little bit easier. It's been amazing, you know.
So what does it look like to grow and like create a business and then franchise it?
A lot of blood, sweat, and tears. A lot of commitment on failing forward and failing and going backwards and redoing some things you did wrong the first time. We talk about leveraging out people that have done this at a high level, asking them how we can do better and be better, and really believing in what you're doing in its cause. And so for us, it was a very personal. It started from a death in the family and receiving a box of things that we knew not what to do with. And so that morphed into our business, and that's how we built it. And so it was all from a place of love and passion, and realized that it was, we had to make a decision on selling it or keep doing it and keep doing it and managing a lot of people around the globe. And that was not part of our long-term path. So as it kind of fell into, so we opted to sell it and do something different.
And it's still a running business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We still get royalties from it. Mm-hmm. So, which is nice. Uh-huh. So the blood, sweat, and tears paid off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. That's such a cool story.
Yeah. It is a good story.
Yeah.
Yeah. People need to hear more of the successes than see on TV what's not working.
Yeah. Well, I think the benefit for me personally and for the role that I'm in now is helping people, teach them it's okay to make mistakes. They're going to make mistakes, and that's how you learn. And there's no shame or, you know, feeling like a failure in doing that. It is, you know, to learn from the opportunity and grow from there. So that's the biggest part of it.
Kind of like motherhood.
Right.
Ooh, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that on the next one.
Okay. No, but isn't it weird that you give birth and then they just
hand it to you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Without the manual.
Right.
Yeah.
Without the manual.
Mm-hmm. And they don't even
ask, you know, like,
are you a competent human? Can you get this thing home?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think there should be a quiz before you get out of the hospital.
No, then they'd have to keep some.
No, he's like, no. See, I understand there's why there's no quiz at the end of this.
There is not a return policy on that.
All right. So we'd spent the past two episodes like chit-chatting about Teslas and cars and why we were making financial decisions and we were moving things around and saving money and whatever. And since that's like, my husband is who edits stuff, and so he'll come and tell me, he's like, okay, I'm tired of hearing about your cars. And I was like, I'm sorry. I don't feel like we make this podcast for you.
Yeah.
This is for women. Yeah. And whatever women want to chit chat about.
Right.
You go back in there and do your job.
So I have one thing.
Listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because I haven't been here the past two podcasts and I get here and you got a Tesla and I'm like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I know. And Maggie's like, wait, I missed. And those episodes haven't dropped. So there's no way you have no way of knowing what we've done. Yeah.
Oh, dear. It was like Tesla extravaganza. So.
Oh, no. It actually has a Tesla light show where it lights up. And
see,
does,
we're down the rabbit hole.
We're down the rabbit hole. No, so Seth makes me get up. I'm sitting on the couch last night. I want to go to bed. I've had a glass of bubbles. I'm a happy girl. And he's like, I need you to come outside. Why do you need me to come outside, love? It's important. Dogs and playing music, the lights. It spells out Tesla in the headlights and the shadows on the ground. And I'm like, it's lovely. Can I go to bed now?
It's very pretty.
And I won't go to midnight. Mm-hmm. Okay, so no, market. Like, I did want to say this. Is like, it's so fascinating. And actually, this works out really well. This is actually perfect that we snagged Dara. Okay, so you've been now officially in, like, the full real estate role, like, in real estate for 2 years.
Yep.
Maggie, you're 4?
Almost 5.
Almost 5. Hmm. Brain's getting a little shaky on the memory there. Cindy and I are more than that. So,
yeah.
And we're just going to leave it there.
Yeah.
Because then people are like, how long have you been licensed? I'm like, you can start doing math and that's all bad. So anyways, you guys have different perspectives of different cycles. We have different perspectives of cycles. The market is weird. Does it feel weird?
It's just another day.
Right?
Really. Yeah, if I really talked about all the things that I can't even remember, all the things that we've had to endure in 33 years in the business. So, and this is just another one of them, but it's still ugly. And I have a degree in economics and it doesn't make any sense to me.
Thank you.
Why?
Okay. So let's like just start real quick. Let me catch everybody up. Job reports dropped on Friday. We had seen interest rates trending down because Feds cut the rates half a point.
Yeah.
And that was already baked in. We knew that was coming. We're hoping that it continues. And then, so it's not that we want the economy to crash, but you need a certain amount of balance for the economy and so that interest rates don't start ticking up again, because that's how they control inflation, is to slow down spending by things are more expensive.
Right.
So, what happened on Friday with job reports?
Because the job report came out not a little bit better than they had thought, but it just blew it. I think 100,000 more jobs than they anticipated. And why this is, I know why, but I'm just saying, it's sad that bad news drives interest rates lower.
Yep. And that was good news.
And that was good news because there wasn't as much unemployment. And yes, anybody that was on the fence about refinancing, because we do a lot of trying to consult and say, here's where we're going. To tell you the truth, I think a lot, and I have clients, my particular client genre is very uptight, don't move quickly. They want to see the numbers. I do a lot of numbers over and over again because that's how they process. And all they can think about is the election coming up. And they think that is going to be, you know, I don't know what they think, but my clients are waiting for the election.
Right. And I've heard that a lot too. It's like, you've got the election. What does everybody magically think is going to happen? Yeah.
It takes years for policies to go through.
Right.
So what's going to happen right after?
Yeah.
And we actually looked, I don't know where Joseph, my husband, looked at, but he said that he has noticed that normally right after an election, rates do go up a little.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, if you're going to lock now, because
down before, up after.
Yeah.
At right after for a little while.
So.
Well, and why it's so frustrating is that we're seeing a trend of people who want to try out the market instead of be sellers in the market. So we're seeing an increase in inventory, but most all of it is overpriced.
Yep. Right.
So we're seeing less listings sell because they're testers and trying, not actually sellers. Right. So then it's frustration on the buyer side because they can't figure out who the real sellers are, who's actually motivated. Yeah, motivated. Mm-hmm. And it's so consulting sellers right now is like, if you're trying, if you want to just try the market, it's not the market to just test. If you actually want to sell in the market, then you need to price ahead and let the market push your price up. That's a difficult tactic to teach.
Take skills.
Mm-hmm. Embrace.
Mm-hmm. The tale of two markets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, which, like, if you actually want to sell, then are you going to take advantage of the opportunity that you get for the first 48 to 72 hours where the largest pool of available motivated buyers are going to see your house? And the minute they see that you're not a truly, like, you're not really wanting to sell the house, you're overpriced or whatever, they've written you off. And it's almost impossible to get them to come back just by chasing price reductions. Mm-hmm. So what conversations are you guys having out there?
Well, I just, because I don't have a lot of conversations until really after somebody's purchased, or at least we know, they know where, like I said, the hedges are and what they can afford. But I don't understand why more people don't understand that unless you're getting out of the market and not buying a house, what right. happens with your sale, it's also what you're going to benefit from when you purchase, correct?
Market's always even.
Yeah. So, yes, you may, and I don't know who out there really believes anymore that, oh, well, I'm going to get the highest price ever, but I am going to really hammer the purchase seller, or I mean the seller of the purchase, down to nothing.
Yeah, that's not real.
That's not.
No, and to your point, that's called being a speculator, and that's what got all of the big iBuyers in trouble real fast because they thought they could just keep buying, ride the market up, and then they would be able to continue to do subpar flips or not even actual full, even like their carpet and paint in, put it up for sale, make a profit, and then that put the brakes on real fast because speculation, that's a scary thing. You're trying to time something that's not how this works.
It isn't.
It's a long-term investment. Yeah, it's really fascinating right now.
That's a word for it. I'm not sure fascinating is exactly the word I would have used. But okay, we're fascinated.
We're fascinated. Well, Maggie, y'all took 22 listings last month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You did.
I know.
I did my people's number.
And our days on market are actually beating the normal market. Mm-hmm. Our days on market, I think
you're at 18 if you take out the
probably number. Because I think we were like 28 or 30 when I looked.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you're pretty good at it. Maybe you should do it for a living.
Well, yeah, I know, right? And actually, I mean, two of our Lawrenceville listings, which is here in this area, both went under contract within 3 days. Multiple showings, multiple offers.
Mm-hmm. What do you think attributed to that?
We are consulting our clients. So first off, when we knew that this was coming, the shift was coming, also a big plug-in for coaching. Mm-hmm. Thankful for Andrea as team leader and then my MAPS coach, like people who see what's coming and that know what's coming. And so we, at the beginning of the year, we created a new kind of listing consultation that gives the client options. And so we give the client different options depending on their needs. So we're trying to solve a problem. So what is their problem? If they're trying to sell quickly, they don't want showings, then potentially our partner Fast Track Offers can offer you a cash offer. Then we go into, well, there's different ways of selling on market. There is a traditional way and you can just test the market, where we probably list it at value or a little above, depending on what you want.
you're probably going to sit for a while, depending on the market. And then we have an accelerator option, which is basically we're going to really come in strong. We're going to make sure that you look good, because in this market, you have to look good. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of listings lately, like in Facebook groups, people saying, my listing's been sent for a while, and their photos are terrible, and they're overpriced. And I'm just like, ooh. So we've been very picky with marketing. We've been very picky with what photos we do show. I remember Andrea told me this years ago. A house sells twice, once online and once in person. And so sometimes, depending on the market, less is better. Not trying to hide things, but you want showing so that you can give the feedback to your clients. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people will come in and be like, oh, well, that's not that bad, like it looked on pictures. You know, like, I can do that. But our biggest thing is we are showing comps and we're letting them know the data and we're showing them market data. I mean, we're like, these houses are sitting, they've been sitting for this long, you know, this is what's going on, you know, and we're recommending under price, under value. Mm-hmm. And so we're letting them know, and I've said this over and over again on the podcast, you can't underprice a home.
Nope.
Market's always going to tell you what it's worth. Your home is worth what a buyer's willing to pay for it.
That's right. Always.
And so the other big thing we do is we ask a lot of questions of our sellers. And so the biggest one is, like, first of all, what's your motivation? What's your reason? And what do you want to net? Because that's what I'm trying to get to you is your net. And so a lot of times they think that they have to overprice a home. But then when you really ask a lot of questions, they only have to net a certain amount. And you're like, oh, I can net you that. And we don't have to overprice it. Or I can price it a little bit lower. And potentially in your area, we could get multiple offers. Like one of our Lawrenceville offers, I think we ended up with an offer with $20,000 over asking. So, and he told Joseph, he's like, what you said would happen actually happened. And Joe was like, doesn't happen all the time, but thanks, you know? And so it's just educating your seller to look at the market. And then also we are calling our sellers every single week with comps, like current comps. You can't comp 9 months ago. Mm-mm. You can't comp even 6 months ago. Like, you have to comp like 30 days ago at mm-hmm. some.
I was like, and 45 pending. To I mean, yes, 60 is like, actually too far back now.
Yes. And you mm-hmm. have to, every week, you're constantly looking at the comps, because we had one client that wouldn't reduce. They sat forever. And then we comped, or not comp, but a sold went into their neighborhood for so much less. And when all it took was us telling them, like, this just sold for this price. Mm-hmm. And we've been telling you you're overpriced. Immediately, then you bring it down. Mm-hmm. They're in a contract.
That's awesome. Good.
And so it's price. And that's what I keep telling people. It's price right now. Yeah, you got to look good for sure, but it is price. Mm-hmm. And if you're sitting on the market, you're overpriced mm-hmm. for the most part. I mean, of course, location, of course, things like that.
No, but price overcomes everything.
It does. Mm-hmm. And we've seen it over and over and over and over again. Like, yep.
There's plenty of buyers out there.
Yep. Yep. Because we had eight. So we listed my brother's house, had eight showings almost immediately and a full price offer. Like, so there's buyers. Mm-hmm. Lawrenceville, same, the other listing we had, same thing. We have like 12 people come through our open house. Mm-hmm. So like, there are people buying, they're not going to overpay. Mm-mm. They're just not. And I know that, at least in my area, we were at 4 months inventory. And normally that's a balanced market, but I think buyers have the upper hand. I really do.
I think once a house has been on the market for 7 to 10 days, they do.
Yep. If it doesn't go right away, then you're going to have to accommodate to buyers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think a savvy buyer's agent is going to help their buyers strategically go yeah. after those. Mm-hmm.
And more buying power.
More buying power.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry. And if I'm on the selling side talking to my sellers, like, listen, this is what I'm teaching mm-hmm. and telling people. Like, if I've got the buyer, we're coming for you. Like, you're the mm-hmm. ideal person to come negotiate with, because you are not pricing your mm-hmm. home runs, right? Mm-hmm. But so often, too, you see sellers go with agents who will price a home with whatever the seller wants to hear.
Right. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, mm-hmm.
yeah. if you're losing the deal or the client, mm-hmm. they do what the seller wants,
and we've taken
what they know is the yeah. right thing to do.
And we've taken a couple of expireds that have come to us, and we've sold them pretty quickly, which has been great because it always feels good when mm-hmm. they've sat for forever. And then they, and one of them in particular, we listed back at the same price, but our pictures were better. Our marketing was better. Like it just, it matters so much. Right. You know, we email out to agents, mm-hmm. local agents, like, so you have to ask the questions. It, gone are the days of just being a real estate agent. We're also a marketing company, you know, like you have mm-hmm. to learn how to market your listings. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I've been looking online at this area in particular, like average sales price right here is between 800 and a million, depending on the neighborhood, can go well over that. And I will have to tell you that some of the pictures that I see, like literally I want to die. There are pictures of toilets, like it's a mm-hmm. half bath and the photographer like gets down and it's like, all you see is because they're trying to get below the mirror is a toilet and a sink. And you're like, nobody buys a house for a half bath with a toilet and a sink. Like, what are you doing? Like, sure, the photographer takes that picture, whatever. I don't care. Unless it's like a 10,000 square foot mm-hmm. house, you need 25 pictures. That's it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's like, you know, I always say it's the bathing suit analogy.
And I don't add bathrooms unless they're like, wow.
Right.
Because it's like, who wants to see just a normal bathroom? Like, come see what the bathroom looks like yourself. You know? Yes,
because mm-hmm. you have to sell them. You have to get them in the door. Yeah. And if I show you everything already online, why would you come? And the other thing was, yeah. is this one house I was looking at, it was like in person because I had gone to the broker open. So I knew what the house looked like in person. I was looking at it later. And in the photos, the photographer had clearly done, like had either somebody overseas or like, so paid like a little bit for the processing, or they had done it themselves and just hit like autocorrect and had taken like a light, like a gray paint that had blue undertones mm-hmm. and it looked baby blue. It mm-hmm. looked like the whole house was painted baby like a baby blue nursery. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh. And so the poor agent spent the money, like they're paying for professional photographer. Mm-hmm. Well, I use the word professional lightly. It's somebody with a camera, a website, mm-hmm. and whatever. But yeah, so like, it's just all those little things, like they really matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because people are not going to waste their time and go look at a house if it's just not mm-hmm. for them. And so,
no, they look at it and like, it's baby blue. Mm-hmm. I don't want to deal with that much paint. I'm out.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm not going Especially if if you're going to have to hire that done. Exactly.
Right.
You know, if it's one little room, you go, oh.
Well, then I wouldn't show that room in the photos. Yeah. But yes.
Yeah, it has a few dollar signs.
Yeah.
You have to come out of pocket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're just like, oh, that's a lot of work. It's a big house. It's fine. And it wasn't that color in real life.
It was actually a nice color.
It was actually a nice color. And mm-hmm. it was a shame. And I just like, you want to get a hold of all these people and be like, I can help you.
Yeah.
Please. Please stop adding 135 photos. Mm-hmm. Are you insane?
Yeah. Well, and I think the ones that are difficult too are the ones that do have all the showings. And then the agent's like, I have no feedback. I'm like, you need to be calling those people and like annoying the heck out of those agents to give you feedback. Like something is up, like mm-hmm. probably price. But at the same time, like being a listing agent who like, if you do get a showing or something, calling that agent and letting them know ahead of time, like, this is what's going on with this house. This is the situation. My seller's trying to move. They're contingent. You know, I'm not saying they're giving the house away, but bring us an offer. Because right. you do have buyer's agents who are newer, and they're like, oh, they're never going to take blah, 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 blah. Put in an offer. You never know.
You never know.
And mm-hmm. I really think, like, a lot of sellers, and I know that when we talk to our sellers, they do want to try the market, but they're willing to take a little bit more or a little bit less. And then you have buyer's agents who are just like, they're not willing to put the offer in. And at times it's like, just put the offer in. Mm-hmm. See what happens. Mm-hmm. See if you can make something work. And a lot of times they will, because a lot of sellers, if someone's selling right now, they have to sell for the most part.
Right. Right.
There's a reason.
Right.
People are just not like, oh, it's fun. Let's sell my house.
Mm-hmm. We're getting into this time of year too with the holidays coming up. Nobody's looking to test the water. I mean, like,
right.
if you're moving, it's because you have to move.
Yeah.
And elections.
Mm-hmm.
Or like,
it just sounds so weird to me.
Mm-hmm. It is. It doesn't affect the real estate market at all. Like in history, elections have not affected the real estate market.
No, it breaks my brain because every 4 years I'm consistently surprised by it. It never ceases to surprise me. Yeah, it's just weird. But
yeah, I don't know what they think is going to happen, how that's going to
happen. Well, right now it's one of the parties is promised and kind of incentive for first-time home buyers. And I'm like, you're going to magically get that the day after election?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And,
yeah.
Yeah. And this guy is.
Sure.
So, yeah. So, regardless of what party it is, I mean, you're
it
not.
It doesn't matter. You're yeah, not you're gonna not going to get that.
What
yeah.
they promised right away.
And yeah. usually any of those tax incentives are just freaking loans. That's mm-hmm. what kills me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that until I got older.
Yeah.
When I was really young, I got like a tax credit and they sent me a check for Alyssa. And I was like, this is great. My dad's like, you're going to have to pay this back. And I was like, why? I was like, what is happening? He's like, well, yeah, it's a tax break. They're just prepaying it. So you'll go spend the money so it'll stimulate the economy. I was like, well, this stinks. I don't like this at all.
Your dad was so smart.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, too, what's been interesting is in our area is the higher end stuff has way slowed down unless it is like.
I wondered when that would happen because
staging.
At the beginning of the year.
No, it was flying.
Booming. Because I'm like, dang, I wish I was a luxury agent right now. Because it was literally they were selling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I did a hard
3-4 million, like just wham, wham, wham. I'm like, dang.
Yeah. And historically, anything over 1.8 is like 9 to 12 months. Like, just plan on it. Like, mm-hmm. take that to the bank. And yes, it was like gone.
Yeah, the first part of the year was really good.
So he's like, yes, that was a nice, nice run up there. Yeah.
So now we're back to a more
normal. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know.
A lot of them were real estate agents, by the way. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. So reports came out and I was looking at our office numbers and I'm going to tiptoe through this, but average commission rates overall are up from last year. Mm-hmm. And I have heard through news reports that, you know, agents aren't going to make any money and the sky is falling and all the things.
They always have to talk about something, whether they know anything about it or not.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And here's the thing, is a really good buyer's agent is going to protect you and save you so much more money than you could ever pay them.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, I didn't know anything really about real estate when I moved the first time. We are not movers, so I moved from Indiana to here, and I moved from here to Canton, and next month we'll be married 46 years. That's how many homes that I've owned now, 3. And what now I just due to this podcast and talking about it, and I'm going, how did we even survive? Because I really didn't know what a realtor did. You know?
Yeah, that's fair.
And people were selling their homes. Like our first home, we did have a realtor. I don't know how we got her. I really don't. I think probably some neighbor said, here, call this woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when we moved down here, we moved with a relocation company and they provided a realtor to help us. But really, when we sold our house in Indiana, we sold it ourselves. Of course, now that was in 1990 and it was fairly easy to do. Well, we were relocating, so we already had a package. We didn't have to. All I needed is for that house to go away.
And you were done.
And we were done. Yes. So we had on this podcast asking, and Rachel had said, or you had asked me, what would you want in a realtor? I did not even know what was available in a realtor. And so from a person, from that perspective, it's really important when you are now talking about proving or are telling people what you bring to the table. That is so true. You can't assume that everybody knows what you're going to do for them as representing you as the buyer. Or you get a better idea of what somebody's going to do representing you to sell the house, you know. But as I had no idea.
Yeah.
And I go home and talk to Greg. I say, guess what they do? I love these. I love these people, but guess what they do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So besides being fun and
no, but that's good. A good point.
Yeah.
What did you think agents did before you got into this?
Manage paperwork.
Yeah.
For the most part. So we've been married 29 years and we have moved 14 times.
Oh man.
We're movers.
You make me feel better.
Mm-hmm. We're movers. Mm-hmm. We get bored really easy.
I grew up in Southern Indiana. They know I talk about it a lot. And I was like one of the few Englishmen in an Amish community. They don't move. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you see my house now, you could tell I grew up in an Amish community. It has shutters and it doesn't have curtains at all. It's just very pragmatic. My house is very pragmatic. And it's easy to keep clean that way.
Yeah.
So, but it's not foofy at all.
Yeah.
My furniture is foofy, but that's only because I've been hanging out with you guys.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I drive a foofy car. That's because I'm hanging out with the right people that like foofy cars.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, I don't have a foofy enough one because I have a Porsche. Now, the cool kids around here are getting
Teslas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Rachel and I went from Porsche to Tesla. So come on.
Oh, and over a weekend. That's what you don't know.
No,
I mean,
like, what happened?
Yeah. It was like buying a new pair of shoes. Oh, let's just go get one of the hottest.
Yeah, why not?
So, can I tell you the Tesla story? This is a true story.
Well, hold on. Dara got to tell us what she thought agents did.
Oh, well, yeah. And all the moves, it was just the person whose name was on a listing that you called because you wanted to go look at a property. And I can tell you that in all the years, except in the last 5 years, well, no, 4 years, we never used the same agent twice because it was never a good experience.
Mm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's
crazy. Oh, that's them all on a list.
Oh, you have them on a list.
I do have them on a list. Back then, KW was not around when we first started moving. But yeah, we've never used the same one twice until the last 5 years in my world of KW now. So yeah, because it was all, you know, just, I didn't know what to expect, but they did not meet my expectations, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they were paper managers.
That stinks.
Yeah.
Did you use agents to sell your houses and buy?
And twice we didn't use the same one to buy because they were no fun to work with to sell. Or we would take a long pause and before we purchase something else. Yeah, because it was, they were like just not very, did not make it fun. Because we actually like to move.
Right.
Well, I say that. My husband probably thinks differently, but it's the way he forces me to make sure that I don't hoard too many things at one time. But details. I like, we get bored. And so we've done farms, high rises, condos, townhomes. Now we're back in Farmville again in Milton. So no animals yet. I really want goats, but we can't have goats there.
If you're going to have a farm, because I know what a farm is. Milton is the fanciest farms.
It is. The bougie farms.
Yeah, there's some fruity farms. Yeah. Yes, there are fruity farms there.
I live in Canton and I drive here. So I go right through Milton. And I've got to tell you, anybody who complains about their drive to work, just take that drive in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It goes from west to east. So the sun's coming up. I was talking to my processor, China. I talk about her all the time because we've been together like 25 years. We just keep going. And she called me and I said, there's baby donkeys, 7 of them right next to me at the light. It's where 7 acres is. I'm going. And it's just so much fun.
That's down the street from me.
Yeah,
and the farm next to us, they have goats, sheep, donkeys, and miniature horses, and sometimes they get out. And we're in the back of the cul-de-sac, and so I look out, and they're in our front yard eating our flowers, or there's one running around the house, and then I'll see him come down the street, you know, block the street off with his truck, and the Milton police show up, and we'll corral them back into the back gate, herd them back into the property.
Yeah.
And I was like, you just can't even make that up. But yet I live 4 minutes from Publix, you know, or whatever. Like it's like the best of all worlds. I'm
That's
not gonna
the way I am literally going to be less than probably 3/4 of a mile from the new Starbucks on 140 and Chick-fil-A, I mean, and the Publix and a bank. What else could, and a CVS, Walgreens. What else could you ask for?
A Mexican restaurant?
Oh,
I'm sure
Clips Azul, right?
See, I was like, wait for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how Coney County is. It's like farms, but then you're like 6 minutes from
the Coney Connector, which is shopping. So nice.
It's great.
Yeah. We love it out there. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's
we have a llama right down the street on their little farm. They have a llama.
Mm-hmm. They spit. I don't like those things.
Well, I didn't go up and talk to them. I drive by.
What I do love at Milton is when I was the HOA president where we live now, when a house up the street, they don't go up for sale often because there's only 14 of them, but it went up for sale, and two agents that had buyers looking wanted to know if we allowed animals and specifically chickens.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I was like, oh no chickens, like no, like cats and dogs, like indoor, that's it. Yeah. But I just found that fascinating that people like want chicken stuff.
I have
a thing. Ask Maggie about chickens. Yeah. Go ahead, ask her.
Do you have the poopy ones?
I had them. I gave them back.
I didn't know you could give back chickens. You can eat them, but you cannot give them back.
I opted for eggs. I opted to get my eggs at Publix.
Yeah,
so one day I go up to their house, and she's like, look at my chickens! Because there was, like, the little thing, and then they had put all the wire and everything in. And then, like, I'm up there, like, a month later, and she's like, I was like, where's the chicken? She's like, not here.
So we ended up with a rooster. The rooster was mean. So we lived on a farm. There was 5 of us, and so it was like a community thing, and the coop was on our property. And so chickens are gross, and they poop everywhere. And yes, so they were like all over our spot, and I'm like, oh my gosh, these things cannot be out all day. So,
well, and the other people were supposed to help take care of them.
Yeah, which they did. We like split the weeks, but it was funny because the two of us on the front side of the farm, like we had 20 acres, they had 14, like they were big, mm-hmm. It was big acreage. And so the three neighbors on the backside, they're like, we'll take most of the chickens and leave you guys like, I think like 5 or 6. And I'm like, you're leaving the two who are the least farm people chickens to do themselves like every other week. I'm like, No. How about you just take them all? And so like her and I were like, let's just get out of it. It's our chance to be out of the chicken thing. So we gave the chickens over to them and they built them like this nice little coop on the other side. But
they're
gross.
They're disgusting.
And I just didn't realize that they were so gross and the poop and stuff. And I just couldn't do it. And then like the eggs kind of grossed me out. Like I was like, ooh, like having to wash them. And I was like, you know, I know they're healthier. But I think I'd rather go get them from Costco.
It makes me laugh.
But my Joseph's papa's got chickens, and his mom actually stayed with my kids last week while we were out of town, and she did bring some. And I actually today I ate eggs from papa's chickens, and but she had washed them and says they look like they're from the store, so I didn't mind that. But like being the person who brings them in and like stuff, I try to garden. I had a farm cat. Like we learned very quickly, we're not farm people. That's just not.
Sold that and moved into a neighborhood right down.
Farm is like real estate. Like you have to leverage out the things that you don't enjoy doing. And so like someone cleaning the stalls, and because I grew up on a horse farm, you have to leverage out all the things and you just want to do the fun things. Like I just want to show up and look really cute and get on my horse and do all the fun stuff and then somebody else do all the other things.
And you don't think of those costs and those expenses when you're moving in. Like you're like, oh, this is 5 acres worth of grass we got to cut. And, you know, I mean, we think about it, but yeah. I mean, we've realized we want about 6 or 7 acres. That's about, and no
little
animals.
Estate.
No animals.
A little estate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That sounds so overwhelming to me.
Yeah.
Like, I want a yard that is AstroTurf.
Oh, I do too. I want to change mine out.
I want to rip it all out.
For the puppy. He doesn't like stepping in wet grass, so I want
to. Oh, you know, you can get the little grasses that you order on Amazon on auto order, and they come like
in a box,
oh. Yeah, like for the animals. But no, it's just like I genuinely am so horrible at keeping anything alive of any kind. It's a thing. Like it's not even that I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy it, But be like, you know how you have those pretty little wrought iron things and you hang your plants on there and the flowers and whatever? Yes, I started naming them the gallows.
Hey, do you know that? Okay, so I kept my ferns alive for the first time ever at our old house before we moved to the farm. And the only reason I kept them alive is because the people that built the house before us hooked up irrigation that went up into the ferns. Mm-hmm. And oh, so yeah. My ferns were so big and healthy that they actually broke and fell to the ground. But I was so proud of them because I'm like, I kept them alive, but I didn't have to.
So yours are exploding,
but not anymore. So I've got two potters in my front porch, and I was like, oh, I need to get some ferns. This was in March. They're still empty.
Okay, so
I never bought them.
Well, with ferns, you don't have to replace them every year. Just in the winter, just
bring them inside,
put them in your garage.
But I forget.
And I'm not going to do that.
And
that's
then
too much work.
They die because they get cold.
And then I throw them away, and you just buy a new fern the next year. Or if you're like me, you stop buying ferns. Now, the best story right now is, speaking of the pots out front, so then the people we bought the house from had those massive, like, super expensive pots that are, like, non-movable. Like, once they're there, they
weigh a zillion pounds.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to freaking put flowers in there, and they're just going to die. So I always, like, just plant things, and I'm like, I hope you make it. And that's it. Like, that's
wish you all the best.
Yes, I wish you all the best. So the pot, I planted, you know, the winter flowers, like,
pansies and that sort of thing.
I don't know. What are the little circle ones?
Oh, yeah, mums.
Those, yeah. Mums. And then some something else. And so I put them all in there, right? Those darn things are still alive right now. One of the pots, like, exploded. It's totally full. And I'm like,
and that's that fast.
And when I'm like, I look at it, like, every time I look at it, I'm like, you're doing good. Good job, because I'm not coming back. Like, you got to make it through another winter. Like, this feels like a you problem now. And then the other pot right across, I don't know if you noticed this when you came in the house the other day, the other pot is like half the size, barely hanging on. Dead. And it's like, well, it's not dead, but it's like, we're on its last legs. And so there's one that's like overfilling right on the other side of the sidewalk. And then this one's like, and so that's like, what? And I was like, I don't know. You just wish them the best. This one didn't do so well. This one's happy. I don't know.
That one's a preemie.
I don't know what to tell you.
So we have, you know, the fiddle fig trees, they are like very hard to keep alive. And I was like, I don't even know what that is. They're like the ones with the leaves. And like,
they're very finicky.
They're very
and
finicky.
Like, once they find a home that makes
you
them happy,
cannot
they cannot move
them.
Them.
Like, you got to water them a certain amount. You got all this stuff. Well, they're different sizes. So I bought one when we moved to the farm. It died. Slowly the leaves fell and it was a stick. Well, then I bought another one because I was like, let me buy another one. And so it was a big, like, it was like a smaller one. Well, it started dying and I was like, dang it. So when we left the farm, I brought it with me because I'm like, maybe it'll survive. And then I bought this, like, really good plant food that everybody raved about, but it's still, like, slow. And it, like, slowly does, like, a leaf will fall. And then the next leaf will fall. And the next, and you're like, ooh. So finally I was like, you know what? Poor plant. I think I got to give up on it. It had like two beets left, but they were like hanging. So I put it in the garage and I was like, you know, eventually I'll throw it out or whatever. So my mom comes to my house twice a week. She loves plants. Like, she's always loved plants and flowers. So she takes this sucker back to my screened porch in the back and waters it. You guys, I'll show you a picture after we're done. That thing's blooming. Yeah. There's so many, like, leaves coming out of it. And I'm like, you're not supposed, like, it's hot out here. And it was, like, hot. I'm talking about, like, summer hot. And it is, like, blooming. But I'm like, now I'm afraid to even touch it. I'm like, are you going to survive winter? Let's see.
Yeah. Put a blanket around it.
I know.
You're like, I don't know.
Yeah. And she just watered it. She's like, oh, I gave it a bunch of water. And I'm like, well, you're not supposed to do that. Because you drown it. And she's like, well, I just
obviously not.
I guess
maybe it's finicky. The definition of a bunch of water. Like throwing the leftover ice out of your
cup. I mean, I was like measuring my water. I was putting like little drops and it still died.
That's because the plant is clearly talking to your mother and your mother has immune.
Mom loves it.
And has made it.
I also called it George and maybe it wasn't a George. Now I call it a she and she's blooming.
Maybe it's Georgina.
Maybe it's
Georgina. Yeah.
The healthiest plant I ever had was one that sat by my kitchen sink that I would dump all of the fluids in, like all of the leftover drinks. Sodas, teas, coffee, wine.
Yeah.
Might have been a little bourbon. I don't know.
Yeah. My kind
but
of
everything
plant,
went in. Orange
actually.
Juices all went into the plant.
Yeah.
Nice. The healthiest plant I've ever owned in my life.
Now, I do have plants around my house. I forgot what they're called. They're called something. It's funny. They're called like demon something, because it's funny, because I'm like, oh, is it like the devil? I don't know. But like, they will not die, y'all. They will not die.
Well, that's so maybe that's why
it's hard to see. A prayer plant to offset that.
So you'll, so you'll start to see. You'll start to see when they need water, and you just literally, you're like, put water in it, and they're like, and they like multiply like crazy. I'll cut one, I'll put it in water,
they
and
get it'll the grow long roots.
Yes, and so I'll plant it in another pot, and I've like created all these little pots, and which because I like real plants,
yeah,
just can't keep them alive. These you can keep alive because you think they're dying, and you just put a little water on them, and the next day they're happy.
Well, I mean, but the, will they live outside?
Maybe I don't know. I've never put
them outside. Stayed inside. But yeah, no, I don't. Best. I don't. I can't have real plants in the house because the cats eat
cats,
them.
That's right. I don't know about outside. Maybe.
I don't know. Mine literally is. So
you
I
just need fake ones.
No, the cats will just eat that. I don't like. No, I don't outside. Like fakes.
Fake outside.
Oh no, that's too much work. It just feels like a lot. I'm not that invested.
Yeah.
I mean, God forbid if we like de-weeded my backyard, we'd have nothing left. We'd just have mud.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Joe's very particular about his grass.
Oh, good.
I mean, he had somebody else cut it. He didn't cut it himself. But it's
my
like,
husband don't run over it.
Could care less.
Oh, no. That's how my dad was when I was growing up. And then, like, if I fell on my bike and, like, fell into the grass, like, is my grass okay?
Yeah, that's Joe.
Hey, your grass? Fine, Dad.
We live in that neighborhood. That neighborhood where it was age-targeted, but it's not an over 55, and they have nothing better
she
to
feels
do.
Targeted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We had a cross the street neighbor that what he would get, and he had like the knee pads that you would like to plant, but he would use that as his seat and scoot down the sidewalk to cut with hand shears.
Stop.
No, I have, oh, no.
I have a neighbor.
They're retired.
I have a neighbor that uses nail scissors to cut underneath the wrought iron fence. That's not his fence because he doesn't have a fence, but it's Lori's. Hey, Lori, that he doesn't like that she does. I mean, she's a single woman, you know, and so he cuts.
Okay, so what's the weirdest thing you've seen your neighbors do outside? Okay, and I'm going to, once we circle back, I'm going to tell you
which
guys.
How old were we and which name?
I mean, yeah, no, I'm going to tell you the weirdest thing that my neighbors have seen me do.
Oh, see, you do. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was a very large snake in our backyard. And we have Tinkerbell, who is like 4 pounds. And so the snake had to go, and it wasn't being scared away. It was like, no, I'm here.
My yard,
and I'm going to bite you. And I'm like, listen, I don't want to have to murder you. I need you just to move along. And it was like, no, thanks. And I'm like, I tried, and it just wasn't going. So then I'm like, I start hunting for a shovel because I'm going to lop its head off so I can get rid of the snake.
This podcast is taking
a very weird turn. You don't know until you like, see, like, people are going to know us so well. And you guys are going to laugh your butts off when you envision me and what I'm about to tell you I did.
Okay.
So I can't. So Liz is like trying to keep an eye on the snake to make sure we like if it
don't lose sight of it.
Right. In the yard. So like if it leaves, I told her just like wish it a happy wellness and bye bye and whatever. So she's keeping an eye on it. And I can't find a shovel anywhere. I mean, we're not like shovel people. And so apparently, so I'm looking around and my lunatic husband, love you so much, Seth, has a massive broadsword in the garage.
Of course he does.
Yes. So, and it's actually like sharp. So I go get this massive broadsword and I go marching from the garage.
There's gotta be a video.
You know, I'm thinking there might be on Ring, one of our Ring cameras, or better yet, it would be great if a neighbor had it, because me in my blonde hair, like marching in my leggings with this giant broadsword to my backyard, and all they can see over the fence is this. So I'm hacking the head off of this snake.
Oh my gosh.
So that's all the neighbors could see is the top of his sword coming down. And then, of course, you know, I scoop up the snake, and then I'm like, bang!
To another neighbor's yard.
No, back into our woods.
Okay.
Oh, my God. And to this day, I giggle in my head because every time I see the sword, I mean, we've only lived in this house for 2.5 years, so this wasn't, like, that long ago that I did this. And I'm like, I wonder who saw that. That would make me giggle if I saw some nut across the street.
probably the neighbors that don't look you in the eye and just keep on.
Oh, no, I know. I hide. I'm a back into my garage.
Door down.
kind of neighbor. Like, I'll help you if you need sugar. Like, you come ring my doorbell and you need sugar or, like, whatever. I'm good for that. Chit chat. We do this all day. I'm good. I chatted. I checked that box. I filled my bucket. I am a happy girl. I don't need to chit chat with everybody else. I like my people. Mm-hmm. Okay, weirdest things. What has your neighbor seen you do? Come on. I can't be the only one throwing myself under the bus. I have good stories.
Oh, I don't know. See, you set the bar so high. really sure.
Nobody else has murdered a snake with a broadsword?
No. Mm-hmm. No.
We threw a squirrel that we had captured with a tennis racket into a cooler out the front door in underwear. Does that count?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it does.
That one, I like that.
Yeah. So it was on the back of our toilet, and I went to go brush my teeth. And the
stop.
And the squirrel is sitting there on the back of the toilet staring at me. And I scream. My husband gets up. He's in his boxers. And I'm like, you get a tennis racket because that's what you do when you try to want to swat a squirrel. So we got the tennis racket because it had to be upstairs in the closet. And the other thing we could find, not a box, was a cooler. And so we caught the squirrel with the tennis racket in the cooler.
Did you knock it out? And then you put it in?
Kind of.
Yeah, okay.
And so we shoved the cooler. And all of it, we ran down and threw it out the front door. So the cooler opened and the squirrel ran off, but the racket and the cooler.
Everything.
And like, you know, the tank top and shorts and he's in his boxers.
I am telling you, I never thought of this, but I am going to have all my family in Indiana watch this pet podcast.
Here's what the city girls do.
I'm going to grab myself a bourbon. I'm dialing for dollars.
Yeah, there you go. Be like, watch this episode.
Yeah. Just so you know.
But we're not scared. I didn't run away from the snake. She got the squirrel. That would be jarring. If I came in my bathroom and there was a squirrel staring at me.
Have you wondered how you got a squirrel in your bathrooms?
Mm-hmm. It was like 8 houses ago. So I don't know. We have no idea, like, whether it was through the ventilation, like the fan in the bathroom, or I have no
typically
idea.
Typically not.
What are the little animals that kind of look like squirrels?
Chipmunks?
No, they're pets. Flying, like the flying squirrels? Like they got the little web things? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they jump. Those are little flying squirrels.
Well, they're not flying squirrels. They have a name.
Okay.
Anyways, they're pets. You buy them at the flea market, apparently. Well, one time I was putting Mackenzie to bed and she called me and said there was a monster in her closet. And I was like, no, there's not, honey. You're fine. Go to bed. And she's like, no, there's a monster in the closet. There's a monster over there. And I was like, no, there's not. She's like, it moved. And I was like, no. So I go in there and I'm like, it's behind her little plastic kitchen. She says, it's behind my kitchen. And so like, I go in there and I'm like, babe, it's fine. And then I hear, and I was like, whoo. And she's like, did you hear it? And I was like, oh my gosh, what is that? And so I called Joe and I was like, Joe. And so she's like, what is it? And so like, I look in the back and it's one of those, whatever they're called. Now
well, fine.
I'm going to have to figure it out. Yeah. And it is like literally tucked in one of her little Ugg-like boots.
Aww.
And it's, I mean, it doesn't all at all. It looks scary. It looks very
terrifying.
Scary. And I was like, what in the world? And I thought it was a squirrel. And so that's what, I called Joe and I was like, there's a squirrel in the girl's room. Blah, blah. And so like, literally he comes out there like a broom. And I don't forget what he has. Like we're trying to figure it out. Like the kids are, yeah, it was crazy. We ended up having to call a neighbor. Neighbor came and just picked it up with his, like he had one of those big gloves or whatever, just picked it on up. Yeah, we sent that thing out into the wild because we're like, here you go on, little thing. Well, then I posted, haha, on social media, and they're like, that's somebody's pet. That's not a wild. Like, they're somebody's pet. They don't live in the wild. And someone was like, yeah, you pay like $800 for them. And next thing, Joe's like, here, little guy. No, I forget what they're called.
Okay,
we're gonna look
at everything.
Anyways,
Hey Suri, what is a pet flying squirrel called?
Let's see if we can find it.
Dwarf flying squirrels.
Yeah.
is it pet?
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't bring my phone, or I would.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I don't know. Mine's like saying dwarf flying squirrels. That's it.
Sugar daughter.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
They're not $800.
Well, they were at that time.
Those are not sugar daughters. No, none of those are.
Okay, so how do we think that pet got into your house?
Well, because my kids were little, and I think they left the back door open.
Oh, yeah.
And we would always be like, shut the door, shut the door, shut the
door. It was looking for someplace warm and a little nest.
It's a sugar glider.
Yeah.
That's it.
Seth loves those.
There were several $100 at the flea market. Maybe not $800.
No, I mean, I'm just like.
I don't think there's sugar gliders in Indiana. I really don't. Maybe it's true.
Like, I have a picture of it. It looks scary. But bless that thing. It probably died, and somebody's pet, like some kids probably, was probably upset.
Well, they should have done a better job keeping a hold of their pet.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Don't let him go roaming into the neighbor's house.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, that feels like a them problem, not a you problem.
Yes. And then we did have a snake in JoJo's room at the new house a couple months ago. That was pretty funny. I have that on video, Joe and I.
Yeah.
Like, what was it? Was it like a rat snake?
It was like a little snake. Oh. It was brown. I don't think it was a copperhead, but I was downstairs picking up, you know, because boys throw their clothes on the floor, and so I'm picking up clothes on the floor, God. And I was like, and I thought it was a toy. I thought it was like a fake, and then I look, and it moves, and I'm like, ah! I mean, like, literally, yeah. I'm like, Joe! And then he's like coming down. I'm like, there's a snake! Anyways, it was one of the things, we think it came through. So one of these vents that the builder was supposed to have fixed and never did, but they did have it fixed after that. Because it was like Tupperware and a broom, and like I've got him on camera. It's pretty hilarious.
You can get really pretty when you need to capture something.
Yeah. Yes.
Whatever you can find. Mm-hmm.
So I will tell you, I had the fun time to learn that my new son-in-law, so you think, because he's a tennis pro, that he's an outdoorsy type.
Mm-hmm. He's not.
No, not even a little bit. I think he has an actual phobia of toads.
We have lots in our house because we back up to a pond.
Yeah, we have a cute little toad that'll come up and sit on the front porch, and I like it. He's cute, so I pick it up. And then.
Hello.
They're gross. So I'm like, he's really cute. And he doesn't like try to, and he makes these cute little noises. And so like, I'm like, Anthony, come here. Screaming, literally screaming at the top of his lungs, running through the house. So then of course I chased him.
Of course.
Because you have to. I mean, what else would you do?
What else is a mother-in-law to do?
How else do you help somebody get over a phobia?
Oh, or that or traumatize them?
Either way.
Yeah, I know.
Really not married to the outcome. Right. It's the process.
Not married to the outcome. Okay. I'm going to remember that.
Yeah. Don't be married to the outcome. You really have to embrace the process. It's the journey.
I'm a married to the outcome fanatic myself.
Yes.
I'm not doing it unless I know what I'm supposed to be achieving on this.
Well, no, I was achieving fun.
Well, yeah, what you were achieving was tormenting your son-in-law, your new son-in-law. So
either he hangs and he stays, or he wasn't gonna make it anyway.
Yeah,
it's kind of survival of the fittest around our house. Hey, listen.
Obviously,
listen. Cancer for the child. Seth has a gimpy fin, and we got run over. They're not dead yet. We figure we gotta haze the kid.
All right.
No, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
And
scene.
Okay.
This is part of being in our family.
Yeah.
If we love you, we torture you.
Yeah.
If we don't.
I'm okay being friends.
No.
Parker's not across over the family threshold.
Parker's the worst around here. He's always jumping out and scaring the pee out of people.
Well, yeah, but. Way to set the bar.
That's fair. That's fair. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Parker's just a little boy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He is.
Yes.
Okay, so we 14 times. How did you move 14? You broke my brain. I did not realize you had moved that many times. Mm-hmm. Why do you just,
You started when you were
10. Are we
10?
Done?
No.
Are we still? Oh. Oh, go on.
Okay. I was just going to like, relax. I'm like, never mind.
It's 10 more minutes. Oh, you can relax.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just get bored. I mean, and we wanted to, like, try all the things to figure out what we really wanted to do when the time came to have, like, our last home. And we keep saying it's our last one, and then we find something else, or we decide to move again, or, yeah.
So they all have
been. But I love your house. You're not moving, are you?
No. No, but like I love not all of
our. How long have you been at this one?
4 years.
What's the longest you've been at one?
5.
Oh.
Almost 6. Yeah. It just already started. I look every day. Yeah.
Oh, no.
But I don't know where I would go better than where I am, honestly. Like, I love where we are.
Like, I love everything about it. So, but we moved downtown for a while, lived in a high rise. We live on the 45th floor overlooking downtown. That was beautiful. Like, it was an amazing experience. We made great friends there. And so, like, in all these little pockets of time, we've captured the great moments of those and carried those with us. And we still, you know, have really great friends that we still do stuff with from all those little adventures that we have. And, you know, we always say, okay, we know what we want. We know what we don't want. Kind of. Ish. But we're still willing to try new things. I mean, we're narrowing it down. I think by the time, at some point, when it's our last, hopefully we'll end up with all the things checked off the box, but who knows?
We thought we'd live in a condo. We thought that'd be perfect. And we tried living in an apartment in downtown Woodstock.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to have an elevator, but it was during COVID, and that lady didn't move, so we had to move because we'd already sold our house in Gwinnett. And so we ended up in an apartment on the 3rd floor with a compromised Ernie Pug up and down all those steps. And that was just like 4 years ago, or I guess it was. Mm-hmm. And
that sounds horrible.
And it was for 5 months. And I looked at my husband and said, we are not doing this. We are not living in a condo. We're not living in a townhome. And we're not. And he had fallen in love with the Providence Group new condos that were going up close to downtown. They are beautiful, but you had to walk. And if you wanted one with an elevator, that was another $50,000, basically. Mm-hmm. So I go, uh-uh. So we didn't do that. So now we have a nice house from the Providence Group with the master on the main, but it has a she shed upstairs if I want to climb the stairs and go see it, and 2 extra bedrooms. And so it's perfect.
Yeah, I can honestly say I would never purchase a condo at this point. Have you guys seen what's going on in Florida?
Mm-hmm. With the
condos? So they, because you know that one fell.
The collapse.
Well, so now they've passed all these additional laws that they have to get all these inspections done. Well,
They can't pass inspections.
And so now... they're being like the condos are required to make these repairs that are hundreds of thousands of dollars, but the funds aren't there.
Right.
And so now you can't get insurance and now you can't pass inspection. So they can't sell them.
Yeah. We have a listing right now. That's not, you can't get a mortgage on it
at all. Or you just can't
too many renters?
And you can't get insurance or something. Maybe it's just a mortgage on it. I can't know. It's one of my agents. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not, you can't lend.
They're very complicated and they hold you hostage. Yeah.
The HOA fee is so high that it's like with the market now and the interest rate, like you're literally paying.
Right. And if they want to do a one-time assessment for anything, you have to pay or they'll file a lien against you.
Right.
Yeah.
It's hard to get insurance on condos because of that assessment issue. And then you can't, you know, there's very hard stops on how many in renters, how many are investment properties.
Your ratio.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac won't
touch it.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, think about how many people we know with condos down in Florida because they're great, quote unquote, investment properties. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But now you really can be in a serious jam.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm. And if it's in the path of this Mother Nature.
That's what we keep saying.
There's caps on your insurance, so you're out of pocket if you exceed your cap.
Well, you know all of those people in Asheville that did not have flood insurance, and they lost everything to a flood. So now they're having to wipe the insurance because the insurance isn't going to cover it.
No. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's crazy about Asheville, too, is that if you look at the 100-year floodplains, it flooded miles and miles and miles outside of it because they never could have predicted that a hurricane was going to get stuck up against the mountains and just
dumped.
Well, mm-hmm. and they had had like 6 to 7 inches of rain.
Yeah.
Two
yeah.
days before that.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then the one dam mm-hmm.
broke. Over the top.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just scary.
Yeah.
And most people, I don't think, realize that any flooding of any kind. So we had the opportunity to learn that even so the water table rose. So even though we were up high on a hill, the water table rose so much, the water came up through the basement floor.
Wow.
And
that's a lot of water for the water yeah. table to rise
uh-huh.
up on a higher
elevation. Well, at our farm in Oconee, we were at 100-year flood plant, whatever, and we flooded. I mean, you remember
yes,
that?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
It was pretty insane. And they have flooded another 2 times after we sold. And I really wondered if they flooded this last time. Although we didn't get as much rain as we thought, but they were prepping for a flood though. But yeah, it's flooded. It's funny because it's like, oh, it's 100-year-old. Yeah. So yeah,
times have changed.
Yeah,
101 so, year, right?
Yeah, yeah. We just put the pool in, and like literally was so close to our pool, but and then twice more since then.
Yeah,
yeah. And so yeah, mm-hmm. that people don't realize that your homeowner's insurance will not cover any flood damage of any mm-hmm. kind, even if it comes up, even though it's not a flood that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have had that heard about that happened yeah. to some people. You know, just from these rains, is the water tables underneath you coming up. So it's good to get flood insurance, even if you're not in a floodplain.
Mm-hmm. Well, and at times, even if you're in a floodplain, depending on what kind of floodplain, all that stuff, sometimes you can, like, can't you, like, opt out of it? Or do you have to get it?
If you're in a FEMA floodplain, you have to.
You have to get it, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you're financing right, I know.
Yes. Which don't. That's a big thing because people don't realize that, and then they get upset because of the insurance. But I'm like, hey, you want,
yeah.
you want,
you need it. Insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, I would definitely recommend anybody get flood insurance, no matter what.
Mm-hmm. And we they'll be talking it. About Asheville, unfortunately, for years to come, as yes. the example of you just never know.
Yes.
Yes.
And I hope that's the only one.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. this new hurricane that's coming.
That's bad.
Milton.
Mm-hmm. I know. Mm-hmm.
Milton is coming.
And there's another one forming right behind it.
Yeah.
And this one, I heard a meteorologist say this morning on the way in that they're considering adding another category because this one may be a category 6. Because if you look at this particular hurricane, the eye of it is so tight and the smaller it is, the faster and faster
yeah.
the rotation mm. is. So now, can I tell you the Tesla story? That you
yes, can, I can. Yes.
Because it was going to segue in. So my daughter has lovely friends that live just south of Sarasota, almost like where Treasure Island is. It's up. Mm-hmm. And she had finally convinced them to come to Atlanta and stay with me or with my daughter, and they can't come. They got 2 small children, and they're kind of like in right, it's heading for them mm-hmm. because there's no gas. There's no gas.
Mm. Well, when there's no power, there's also no gas.
Yeah.
But, I mean, literally, there's no gas to pump mm-hmm. now to put it in your car. So I talked to her this morning, and I said, tell her at least to go inland, go towards the Atlantic. And she says they can't. They got 2 small children and there are no hotels.
Mm.
So, but then my daughter went to school in Sarasota College and she has other friends and they made it out. And she said, but blah, 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 made it out. And I said, oh, really? She says, yeah, they have a Tesla. They didn't have to have gas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because then Joe turned it on Augusta last week and said, could you imagine if you had a Tesla? Because they would power without power break days.
I have a whole house generator.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. The people that don't have generators.
Right. Feels like an emperor. I feel like.
Well, you know what? Tesla should just add as a bonus.
Yeah, the generators.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, I think if you own a Tesla, you need a generator.
Yeah.
Well, no, great.
That's true.
It is, but... Actually, they have Tesla chargers for your house if you want to that are solar powered as well.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
And they do solar power. They'll solar power your house if you want, like if you want actually all that mess. But they do have the solar power one so that if you did get into a jam, but you're right. Because the gas, like we've been, even been here and the gas has run out.
Mm-hmm. We were driving home from North Carolina last week, pulled up to a quick trip, no gas, none of the pumps. And I was like, oh.
That's a bad feeling.
Yeah. Thankfully.
The one across the street, there was a couple pumps still left that were open.
Mm-hmm.
It was starting to shut down pumps too. But you know, Columbia was also, because of Augusta, I think a lot of people were, some of Columbia was also affected because when we were on our way to North Carolina, Joe looked over and he's like, that's a golf course. And it literally looked like a lake. And I was like, that's a golf course? He's like, yep, that's a golf course. And yeah, you could see the trees, like the top of the trees mm-hmm. coming out of the water. And like, and when we went down, like Augusta was just dark. Like we were going on 20 and you looked and like all the exits were just so dark. Cause we went like, I guess we went by like 6:30 in the morning.
So eerie.
And it was just so eerie. That's we crazy. Have family or not family. We have friends down there and just, and what hit Augusta was supposed to hit Athens where we live. So when we went to bed, supposed to hit us at like 3 a.m. We were literally like, do we go to bed? Do we stay up? And Joe's like, well, it's going to hit at 3. Let's get some rest. See what happens or whatever. And we ended up sleeping through the night when we woke up and it hit Augusta. Like literally the eastern wall.
Mm-hmm. It shifted.
I mean, an hour, 20 minutes from us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's crazy is we kept getting like all the warnings, all the warnings, all the warnings.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like the eye set on us and just like rotated completely around us. And that little band of rain. It was like there was leaves down and that was it.
Yeah, it was just rain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't bad.
Wind for a little bit, but that was it.
We were in Indiana.
So you missed it altogether.
Mm-hmm. I was in Las Vegas, but mm-hmm. I was checking on my house sitter. Mm-hmm. She was amazing. Mm-hmm. She kept the fort down so and kept all our fur babies safe.
Mm-hmm. Well, the babies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. That's it.
That's it. Okay.
All right.